For 525, 2025, it's Video Games Hot Dog, now with big cocks. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
How's your weir brew, guys? I mean, your week been. Kevin wrote us an agenda. It's really sloppy. You know, when Roy made us the agenda to stop me from being a retard on Advice Hot Dog, he at least typed it. It was in Comic Sans.
I had 10 seconds before we started recording to do this.
If only you were in a building full
of computers and printers. While you were doing your intro, Stein, I was writing this out.
What we don't have is printers that don't turn all the lights off when you run them. Whenever Kevin prints anything, it used to be that I had a universal power supply in my office, and whenever Kevin would print something, my UPS would start beeping because his printer draws too much power, and it makes all the lights in the building dim.
I don't think that it is my printer that it is the problem. I think it is that the wiring in the house is subpar. There's too many things on a single circuit or whatever.
So that's how some of our week has been. We've been getting ready to exhibit at Phoenix Comic Con.
Ooh,
which
yeah.
is like San Diego Comic-Con, only smaller mm-hmm. and slightly sadder.
And in the desert.
Well, I mean, it's in a convention center.
In the desert.
Once you're inside the convention center, it doesn't matter if you're in the desert or not.
You don't think?
No.
Huh. Are they blasting the air conditioning?
A moister wind blowing through the San Diego one. That's how I would describe San Diego Comic-Con.
Carrying the
moist wind.
Carrying the weight of the nerd farts.
For this year.
There's that. Been working.
I took you on a death march.
Yeah, we went on a really long hike. Oh man, and we saw a thing that I haven't talked about on any other podcast, so now we finally get to have a story.
It was a rattlesnake.
Yeah, big rattlesnake. It was all.
But the rattling was much. Yeah. It sounded more like an
sprinkler?
Insect. It sounded more like an insect than it did a snake.
Huh.
And by say more than it sounded like a snake, I mean. Like the movie Rattlesnake sound that you think of.
I've never seen the movie Rattlesnake.
On a plane? Not really. The hike was really cool, though. It was like 11 miles through basically downtown Phoenix,
through town.
Where there's these mountains.
And I was like, whoa, look at that, a Circle K. It's been eroded down to a shitty Circle K by many years
by
of
passage of
rain
time.
And minorities.
I thought you meant that the Circle K came to exist through process
of natural
erosion.
I mean, there is, Circle K Mountain. But that was in a different part of town than we were in.
Yeah, it's cool, though. I mean, you are in town, and there's just this, like, natural preserve, which has some, like, low mountains in it. And there's this pretty cool trail that, like, you can, like, three-quarters of your view will just be nothing but, like, mountains and like, hills and stuff like that. And then you turn around, and there's, like, a housing development.
Yeah, and the other quarter is, like, rich people's backyards, and they're glaring at you. They're like, if you die, you can't use our phone.
I mean, sort of definitionally,
but I'm saying, if you die, the rest of your party can't use our phone to call a cleric to resurrect the ones who died. Oh, man, I was pretty excited. I ordered a book, and I hope it doesn't suck.
What book?
I don't know.
You just picked one at random? That's your new...
Yeah, I go to Amazon. Surprise me.
Yeah.
No, I ordered some book about the history of computer role-playing games.
Oh, really?
Dungeons and Desktops. And maybe it'll be terrible. And I don't know.
Huh.
I'll let you know, listeners.
Cool.
I like books about video games.
Did you... Yeah. Was it recommended, or did you just, like, stumble on it?
No. So, as part of our assignment, it got me thinking about the early development of World of Warcraft, and I started looking around. I was looking on Amazon for, like, books about the history of the development of World of Warcraft.
Do they exist?
They don't. There's a lot of terrible shit on Amazon about World of Warcraft. It's like half gold farming guides for the Kindle and half what I'm sure are just goddamn terrible novels set in the Warcraft universe.
Okay.
They might not be terrible. You know what? I don't know Alan Dean Foster. Maybe he's... good. I don't think they're written
have
by Alan Dean Foster.
Have you read Yahtzee's book?
I bought it, but I have not read it.
I've got it on my wish list, but I haven't bought it yet.
Yeah. So we have nothing to say about it.
Right.
Well, it exists. Yeah. That's a thing.
But I think it is not a novel set in the World of Warcraft universe that tries to fill in a lore gap.
No, it's a novel set in a universe that may as well be World of Warcraft
It's a parody and not a serious one, right? I mean,
okay.
That's different. Right. But yeah, so, I was just looking around at various video game history books and buying them. Because that's the particular kind of nerd that I am.
The kind that buys things.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just an Amazon nerd.
You're a consumer nerd.
You got a big Amazon box. What not to say on a first date with a Jungle Tribes woman. Riff sent me a text message once that said, "You got a big Amazon box," and then he replied with, "Things not to say to your new South American girlfriend." Because she'll say, "Why did you say it twice?" I mean, ¿por qué dice dos jueves?
Jueves?
Mal? Ein Mal. That's German. What times? Times? How do you say it? Una vez. Dos feces.
Baby mice?
Yeah. We hiked. What have you been up to?
Not much. Working, playing that game that we work on.
You wrote a 100 node.
Yeah.
You wrote a book about how you can't follow instructions. It's like, write me a 1,000-word thing with a hard cap of 1,000 words. Oh, here's your 1,200-word thing. Like, yeah.
if it would have been
just enough to represent a middle finger.
No, I mean, I figured the point of the exercise was to not fuss over what the words were, and so it would have been more difficult and slower for me to make that hard cap.
Riff, which one of us
just
gets to decide what the point of the exercise is, huh? Anyway,
That was fun, and I've been working on that other thing, and I'm, I don't know, 6,000 out of 10,000 words done on that.
Whoa, nice. That would be our promotional Choose Your Own Adventure book for San Diego Comic-Con, which you can come see us at San Diego Comic-Con. We're at booth 9, firms,
14,
firms,
farm, 13, 1431, farm 1432, something like that.
Yeah, we're by Penny Arcade.
Yeah.
And Scary Pumpkins. What are those guys called? The Wright Brothers.
We're next to the Wright Brothers.
It's not Scary Pumpkins. It's Killer Pumpkins.
Killer Pumpkins. Yeah.
Oh, we're in between the Wright Brothers and Killer Pumpkins.
Killer Pumpkins and that...
The 1431
computer software that tells you how to write.
Right, that's the Wright Brothers.
Yeah,
yeah. That nobody ever even mans their booth because they know that it's a huge waste of a booth. Sorry if you guys are listening. Sorry.
And we're across from Girl Genius.
Oh yeah, Phil Studio Foglio.
Yeah.
All we are is Radio Gaga, Radio Goo Goo.
Yeah, Dumbrella Studio is in that Foglio. Area.
We're in the web.
We're in the web comic pavilion.
Pavilion,
yeah.
Which it's like a rectangle with that one corner just cut out because Wright Brothers has nothing to do with web.
Yeah, but Killer Pumpkins isn't a web comic.
Yeah, I guess.
They're paintings and arguing.
Neither
about,
is Kingdom of Loathing.
Arguing about. Yeah. We're not supposed to. Yeah, we're averse.
We're under the radar.
Oh, okay.
Oh wait, you're saying they'll kick us out?
No,
I thought you were saying we weren't supposed to mention Kingdom of Loathing on this podcast.
Oh, no. Wow.
Because we're under an NDA.
From ourselves. Yep.
We don't want to burst our own embargo. I got some clippers to cut our thumbs off if we do.
Have you heard that new rap group, The NDA?
No.
I can't tell you about
that. That's the album called Burst My Embargo.
So what have you guys been playing any video games?
Yeah, I've been playing some video games.
Are you mad that I ended the How's Your Weir Beer segment? How's your werebear? He's fine, thanks.
He's a good dude, yeah.
He's in New York, you know. That's cool.
Cool. You guys cool been story. Playing any video games?
Well, now that you're holding the Clippers, why, yes, I have, sir.
What have they been, Riff?
I don't remember anymore. I played...
Dick Chopper. It's about a detective in a helicopter.
He
solves sky mysteries.
He's got both a helicopter and a like modified motorcycle. That's how he gets around.
Oh yeah. It's a transformer.
The one I played that I wrote down was a flash game by that Nitrome guy.
Yeah.
It's called,
is it just one guy? That's not like a whole studio?
I think it's a guy. You might be right. I don't know.
Okay.
But it was called Fault Line, and it's a sort of puzzle platformer where every now and then you see these two little dots in the walls and you can grab them and warp space, set like fold space such that
turns the level into a fold in.
Yeah, basically.
You know, what's weird is that game is a couple years old. And
really?
Yeah, and it seems to be all over everywhere lately.
I saw it off of JS Games or one of those
Notch,
places.
It was definitely posted on JS Games like a couple years ago.
Maybe it
was
on Notch's Twitter.
Notch posted it on his Twitter.
That must be where I saw it, yeah. It was okay. I played it until it started getting hard, and then I quit.
How do you grab the 2 points?
Because then you had to go touch it.
You just mouse click them. Or you click one and drag to the other.
Click one and drag to the other. Okay.
And do you, does it use up some sort of energy to keep it folded or something? No, it's just, it's just like,
I mean, eventually you will have to probably unfold them to finish the puzzle. I mean, you, there, the complicatedness is in figuring out what order to fold the area along which lines, and
so
then,
that it doesn't like drop you onto a pit of spikes.
Yeah,
or something.
And then manage to do the platform jumping, which is always a problem for me. I also played a iPhone iPad app that came out called The Heist, which is an interesting idea, well implemented, but with not very good content. Huh. It is a it's a series of it's done by the Mac Heist guys, which is sort of like,
you sure it's not Machiste?
Machiste, yeah, the Machiste guys, who it's sort of like Humble Indie Bundle, but Mac specific and not game specific. But they put out this app, which is a series of puzzles, and if you complete something like 60% of them, you get a Steam key for like a $10 game. Like a particular $10 game. I've forgotten the name of the game. So it's a 99-cent app. If you finish it, you get this $10 game if you don't already own it and are interested in it. Unfortunately, the puzzles are, I mean, it all looks really pretty, but the four types of puzzles are traffic jam, modified Sudoku, shifting the tiles around, and Sokoban. And it's the, you know, I mean, everyone has seen these puzzles a million times, and they're not fun anymore. They're just work.
Interesting.
What is the shifting the tiles around that's not traffic jam?
Like a 15 puzzle, okay. Yeah. Except in this one, it's wires.
It's 12 and a half.
You have to shift around the tiles with the wires on them to connect different nodes on the sides of the board.
You know, even when I was a kid, I hated 15 puzzles, and I've never met anybody who likes 15 puzzles. Do you like 15 puzzles?
Not really.
Okay.
So I've met you.
What about puzzles? I mean, do you like putting together just jigsaw puzzles?
Yeah.
I can imagine enjoying that. Like, yeah. I don't.
Why is that fundamentally different than a 15 puzzle?
Well, because there is a, just putting together
a jigsaw puzzle constraint.
Is just backing up. A series of tasks to
what
perform in a
about,
row. So it's like a meditative thing.
Rubik's Cube.
No, I hate Rubik's Cubes.
I can't do Rubik's Cube.
I think a Rubik's Cube is appealing in the same way that a 15 puzzle is appealing.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
So there are probably people who like both of those things.
That's probably true. But okay. I've never met anybody who even knows what a Rubik's Cube is.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you later.
I put up a flyer. What is this? Picture of a Rubik's Cube. If you know, give me a call.
What is this thing? How do you make it work?
But first you have to tell me how to use my phone.
Right. I installed that key lock that requires me to solve a Rubik's Cube before I can make a call.
About this 99-cent Rubik's Cube.
Why did I do that? What have you been playing, Kevin? Wow, you got notes again.
I have notes every week.
You only have one computer. That's why you can do this. I play all kinds of shit, like at home, and then I forget about it, and I play shit
you
at work, and I play shit on.
You could keep notes on the device that you carry with you.
What?
At every single moment of every single day.
I don't have that.
Okay. I can only play games at work. Oh, the irony. So speaking of like the puzzle stuff, it's not really a game per se again, but like somebody had linked in our forums to the Master Theorem. And so I loaded that up and was like, ooh, interesting puzzles. And so in the first day, I like solved every puzzle that was available to me.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Fine.
Sorry, I didn't realize this was video games. Hot Kevin brags about shit, dog.
No, I'm just saying like I played the shit out of that website.
Isn't Kevin Smart Aim's hot dog.
All right. So that's really cool. You should check it out. TheMasterTheorem.com. It's a bunch of really interesting, neat puzzles, and like the whole website is a puzzle. There's like hidden stuff on the website. There's like also like it's like super slick design, relatively interesting puzzles. The puzzles are all well crafted. So there's probably like 30 of them available at this point. 30 puzzles on that site.
If you can find them all.
Yeah, if you can find them all. And there's new ones every week. Wednesday nights at midnight
And there's some kind Eastern of Daylight bonus time. If you're the first person to solve it.
There's
or
yeah, you get a bonus if you're the first person to solve a puzzle. You get
yeah, that
bonuses.
Seems like the kind of thing that would give you a bonus.
There's bonuses if you are if you can solve the puzzle within 5 minutes. Bonuses if you can solve it within the first hour and first day. So, yeah, it's neat. And then I also another recommendation from one of our listeners was Space Kim. It's a game by the same guy who did like the Codex of Alchemical Engineering,
okay.
which was a flash game. He doesn't spend a ton of time making the game super pretty, but they're really interesting sort of procedural puzzles. It's, I mean, it's, you like Robo Rally as like a board game riff. I think you would probably find this at least interesting. I don't know if you would actually enjoy solving them or whatever, but it's like coming up with an instruction set to manufacture stuff and okay. then running the program and watching it work, and there's like you need to watch out for like collisions of stuff.
That does sound cool.
So I don't know if it's worth going back to his Codex thing or not, but Space Chem is pretty cool. There's a
Space
demo you
Chem,
can just
C-H-E-M?
C-H-E-M.
I also don't know if he is the guy that made there was a game that I thought was by the guy that did that Alchemical Codex game that was you would like use these steam tubes and stuff to work the innards of this robot with like guns and shit on it, and there'd be like the divert steam here to kneel and divert steam here to shoot and whatever.
And then you'd come up with like a program and then have it fight with based on that program.
Yeah, you have a fight with another robot that has like a particular behavior.
So you can see the behavior beforehand, or do you only see it through?
I think you get to just replay it. It's one of those like learn by dying games.
Sure. So yeah, I mean that was fun. I didn't have a bunch of time to play either of them, but it's pretty. It's like I like that idea. I'll probably come back to that when
I have
more time.
I like programming tasks.
Yeah, it's
programming
a lot of,
thing is a fun puzzle.
Did you like that?
And you can optimize it in a bunch of different ways. You can either try to have like the smallest number of instructions. You can try to finish it in the smallest number of cycles.
Did you like that flash game with the robot that had to turn on the light bulb?
I vaguely remember it. I think that was a good one.
Because that was basically just a bunch of programming tasks. That's one with like boxes and you're jumping up and down and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like where I can imagine having fun playing Robo Rally because you're getting a hand of cards and you're just trying to do like the best that you can
that
with
is,
the tools that are available
yeah.
to you. Like that feels like a game to me, whereas these other things are just like, nah, these are just puzzles.
I feel like that makes it. There's somebody did an iPad implementation sort of Robo Rally and the single player component, instead of having AI, it's just puzzles of that sort. But he gives you so many cards in your hand that you almost never don't have a card you need, and he also lets you leave spaces empty so that you can pass a cycle, and which you can't do in Robo Rally, and I think that makes it too easy.
I mean, I feel like the robot turning on the light game, I forget what the name of that one was.
I think it's like Lightbot.
It might be Lightbot. The tricky parts of that were on the harder puzzles, figuring out how to make subroutines that would do a bunch of enough stuff that you could call.
Oh, that's right, because in Lightbot you had a
very limited
amount of space.
Yeah. So
you could use any commands you wanted. You didn't have a random draw of commands. But
you had two subroutines. Two subroutines, and you had 16 spaces or something, and like that was not a lot of space for the really tricky puzzles. And so but they were definitely puzzles. They weren't games.
You know, I would have liked that game if it had not. So I, for whatever reason, it is almost impossible for me to enjoy a game that is in that isometric perspective where you're moving diagonally. It makes it so difficult
like
for
Qbert.
Me to envision. I like Qbert, so that's a weird exception to it. Although Qbert is not isometric because it doesn't have the in order for something to be isometric, one of the angles has to be 30 degrees.
Really?
Definitionally. That's what isometric means.
What?
That's weird.
Why is that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Because I was like, on one of these podcasts, I was like, hey, we're talking about isometric stuff. I don't even know what isometric means. So I went to good old Wikipedia, and it was like, yep, one of the angles has to be 30.
That doesn't...
degrees.
Which, like, when you say one of the angles, like,
which
could you just have a triangle on the screen the whole time that was...
Yeah, just one triangle with a 30-degree angle, and then you can have whatever you want, like a totally immersive 3D.
Cool.
Or, you know...
because like isometric exercise is just exercise that you do.
You know, I was hoping you'd be able to bring it back around to fitness.
as I bring everything around to fitness,
that's what you do.
It's just exercise that just uses like your own weight. And that I don't think requires you to have 30 degrees.
Because you weigh 30 degrees.
Oh.
We used to do
30 stone.
We used to do isometric drawing in drafting class in high school. And yeah, it was.
Did they have a 30 degree angle involved?
Yeah. I had forgotten that that was the case, but yeah.
So, like, is it.
It might elevation be 30, is 30? I might be wrong about that.
What's that?
Is the elevation 30 degrees or is the. Like, what is the 30?
It is.
It's the temperature.
I don't exactly remember.
So it has to be done.
I'm not sure I can.
If you do it,
I'm not sure I can describe it in words.
If you do it in the United States, it has to be. It has to be at a temperature where
yes.
water will freeze, and if you do it in Europe, it has to be like really hot.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that all you've been playing?
Yeah, just those two.
Oh, I played some more Rift. I hit level 40 and got my sweet metal horse. That is a pretty sweet metal horse.
Is that a euphemism?
You get like a clockwork horse.
You nice. Mounted
awesome.
You mounted that piece of metal.
Here's the thing that struck me as there are a couple things that have struck me as really impressive. Impressive attention to detail that you don't normally see outside of Blizzard. This is a thing that even Blizzard didn't necessarily do. When you walk backwards on your horse, the horse turns his head around to look behind him while he's
nice.
Walking. Yeah. It's like, wow, I never knew that I was missing that. Until I saw it here. The other thing is, they did a patch to add some more content and launch the next section of a world event or whatever. They are, like, going balls to the wall with world events. There's always something going on.
I think that's the whole premise of the game, though, really.
It is, kind of. I mean, there is like, questing and stuff, but, like, the world events, although, there's two different things, right? Like, there are the invasions and stuff. There are the recurring world events that are just the nature of the game. But there's also, like, storyline world events where it's, like, okay, there are going to be all of these particular invasions from this particular elemental realm in specific zones, and there are going to be, you know, a currency that you collect from fighting these things to trade for cool shit. You know, like the ability to look like a skeleton, which is a thing that I took.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I can look like a skeleton.
Because you're a masochist?
Yeah.
Can you do that at will?
Yeah, well, it takes up your trinket slot, which, so, and yeah, it's you can't mount or anything while you're doing it, so...
You know, and the only reason they did that is because they didn't want to have to animate a skeleton riding a horse.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the limitations that cause that, but it's so dissatisfying.
But that's the thing, right? Like, you either refuse to let people do shit like that, or you can't do a costume without multiplying
the
number of animations that you
sure.
have to do by the number of costumes that you're going to make,
sure.
right? And so
no,
it's like, I can certainly understand why they don't do it.
I understand. It's
but
just...
it is sad. I mean, that does seem like the kind of thing that's like, well, World of Warcraft, you know, you could just use some of your hundreds of millions of dollars and hire a guy to do that and add that feature. But it's, you know, there's
yep.
all kinds of shit you could do
yeah.
if you had some money. but in the, just this unannounced thing, in this one, there had been these, like...
surprise rape.
This one enemy model.
No.
That was, like a construct designed to... Like a golem made for mining, right? And it was just,
a
like,
golem made from the act of mining?
No, made for mining.
A golem made for mining. Oh, okay, so
a golem, for mining for Micah.
Okay.
No, but it was just, like, dude with a drill and a hammer for arms, and then, like, his back was, like, a big backpack that was always filled with, like, rocks and shit. Right. And
to slow him down, because otherwise he would just mine too fast.
Yeah, yeah. It was just kind of a shitty model. You know, I was like, wow, that looks really bad, actually. Like, there are a lot of these in the world, and they're kind of dumb looking. And just silently, they replaced the model with a much cooler looking thing in one of the patches.
Huh.
And I don't know what that's all about. Like, they didn't, it wasn't in the patch notes anywhere. It was just like, oh, yeah, we also agreed that this thing was shitty and unfinished and hastily added for launch or whatever, but we replaced it. Was something. It was cool.
Nice.
It made me pretty happy. At first, I thought like it was a new thing, but then I realized, no, wait. Every time I see one of these, it's the new model now. The new one looks kind of like a Big Daddy from BioShock.
Is it something that you can buy or create?
I don't think so.
They're just part of the world.
They're
world lore.
They're monsters or they're NPCs.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, that was the thing. If it was something that people controlled, you can't really do that, because it's like, oh no, I like the old one better. Fuck you, is what you say in the forums.
But you can totally do that, and people will get over it.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
It's pretty a widely held belief in the MMO industry that you can't really do graphical updates of the characters. You can't make the characters look like better, because people get really attached to what their characters look like.
But you give them new outfits all the time.
I couldn't pick any of my MMO characters out from a lineup of other MMO characters. I mean, like, I could probably guess if I had to what, like, my main on World of Warcraft looked like if I had to recreate him from scratch. But it would mostly be, oh, I'm probably going to make the same decisions this time that I made the first time when I'm trying to imagine an orc shaman. What else? I was going to say something else about Rift, and I don't remember what it was. Yeah, sweet.
How many levels are there?
There are 50, and I just hit 40, so I am probably 7 or 8 gameplay sessions away from the level cap at this point, because I've been playing in their equivalent of rest experience. I spent a good amount of time trying to find interviews and anecdotes and articles and stuff about the early days of World of Warcraft.
Right.
And and I found one account of the beta, but it was more just like, oh,
you've been playing since the beta.
I've been playing since the open beta.
Okay.
Which it was, the game was done then, right? The open beta was just a stress test. I don't think they changed anything fundamentally after that. But you know, there was like a, in this one article that I found, there was like a passing mention of the rest system or whatever, but like, I'm really curious about it, because, you know, we'll get to this in the assignment, but like, playing Warcraft 3, like, they had announced World of Warcraft like 7 or 8 or 9 months before Warcraft 3 came out. So I am guessing that they had been working on it for a year or two when they announced it. And I am curious as to whether they... I wonder which one got started working on first, World of Warcraft or Warcraft 3.
Really?
Because I don't think it... I don't think that it would
They're probably
take
different
them,
teams.
Sure. But, I mean, they shared a lot of art assets, which is something that has become clear to me on playing Warcraft 3. They used a lot of, they used the same engine, actually. There's a, like, I'm pretty sure that Warcraft is running on a modified version of the Warcraft 3 engine from what I've seen.
I did recognize some item icons.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of item icons that got used, and I think there's some textures and stuff too, like. Well, anyway, we're not allowed to talk about that yet. What wait, hold on.
Cultural catechism?
Wait a minute. Hey, what do you guys think about culture?
What's your cultural Kaya-titigasm?
Yes, it's a cultural Kaya-titigasm.
You've never had one of those?
No.
There's a great taco stand down on Kaya-titigasm. It has a nice milk sauce. Man, there's something wrong with you, Kevin.
Okay.
All right, what's this segment, bro?
Just, you know, whatever you've been watching or reading or...
You've been watching or reading anything?
Doing anything, yeah. I saw a movie about Jack Abramoff called Casino Jack. It was like a based on true events kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool, actually. I remembered him vaguely, sort of in the zeitgeist. I didn't know what he was all about, but he defrauded a bunch of Native American tribes of money by telling them that he was like lobbying for them in Congress when he wasn't really doing anything. He was one of the super lobbyists.
Hmm.
So. A lot of, he was, had a lot of senators like sort of in his pocket that he was kind of, I wouldn't say controlling, but.
This is boring.
Yeah?
I agree.
I'm just kidding. I'm being the American public. Who's that guy? Leonard
Maltin.
Hey, Leonard Maltin.
Leonard Schmaltin.
Leonard Shumway.
So what's your favorite curse word?
My favorite curse word?
Yeah. That's what Leonard Maltin asks you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah, that's one of those questions that he asks.
Favorite in terms of what I like to hear the most, or favorite in terms of what I use most often? I guess I don't even know.
I think
what
you get to
decide how it is your favorite. I mean, I think balls is really funny when I hear it.
You mean delicious.
No, I mean funny.
I like son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch, yeah,
son
that's
of
good.
A bitch. You can say it in so many ways.
You know, I wasn't expecting to ask this question, so I don't have an answer ready.
Yeah, it's
that's
tricky.
That's not the kind of thing you just think about all the time.
Yeah.
Dead air.
I like describing things. I like describing if I'm in a bad situation, I like to describe it as being under the shit hammer.
Huh. Did you just make that up?
No, that's when I don't use it very often because yeah. I don't often find myself under the shit hammer.
Huh. Where'd you pick that up?
I think my friend Mark made that one up or he got it from somewhere. But yeah, it's being in a bad situation. I feel like it also has the connotation of like being under a really bad deadline too.
So there's some exterior agent holding the shit hammer over
yes.
you. Have so you it's like the sword of Damocles, only
yes.
it's a hammer made of shit.
Made of shit, yes.
Okay. Have you tried the shit hammer 40K?
Yeah, but it's just your scenery gets all messy and
yeah. How about you? You've been doing anything interesting?
You have to paint all your dudes brown.
I don't think so. I've been watching The Whitest Kids You Know.
Oh,
a
yeah?
lot. Yeah. There's a lot of fart jokes and
did
stuff.
You watch that because of the Jordan Jesse Go interview, or had you just been
no.
doing it? It was just
no. My
coincidental?
Yeah, I don't know. My girlfriend has been watching a bunch of stuff on Netflix streaming, and so that was something that I'd just been watching with her, and it's really funny. I started watching it from the beginning of the only season that's available on Netflix streaming.
And this is the stuff that's actually on like cable now?
IFC, yeah. Okay. The Ultimate Fighting.
I was just about to say
Fighting Championship. Yeah, there's a lot of like grown men hugging and then punching each other in the dick.
Cool,
man. Where have all the pro wrestlers gone?
I think they're still. I think they're still pro.
Well,
wrestling.
That one went to heaven to stop the rapture from happening.
No, that's what I meant. I meant it. Randy Savage probably went to hell.
Nah,
you don't think so?
He saved us.
Heaven
he beat
be,
Jesus up and
heaven
saved
would
us
be
all.
Boring for a pro wrestler. Yeah,
the whole rapture thing just kind of. Why did people even care? I mean, like, were they making some sort of atheistic statement, or were they just being assholes, or...
Well, I think everybody wants something new to make dumb jokes about, right?
Okay, sure.
So, like, there's got to be something, and it's, like, bacon's out of style. God. So there's a fucking... There's a sequel to Death's Bank,
yeah,
which Ron Gilbert doesn't have anything to do with it. Because
no,
I was gonna
just Hothead.
I was gonna spend this time making fun of Ron Gilbert, but you know what? Fuck Hothead Games. I'm gonna go on record as saying,
wow,
fuck Hothead Games. They
I wouldn't put it that strongly, but yeah, bacon's over, guys.
Well, no, so that yeah. I mean, but honestly, that is a continuation of the like sense of humor, and I wish there was a way to put air quotes in a podcast because sense of humor is not a real thing that I would say about Death's Bank because like it's just like, whoa, look, it's a kumquat. Oh, we're gonna eat a kumquat. Guess what kind of fruit we're gonna eat? It's kumquat. Oh, isn't that wacky? Hey, it's a kumquat.
Now I feel bad because I think kumquats are really funny.
Yeah, well, yes, sure. Also, ytterbium is the kumquat of metals. That's what we did. That's what we determined. So, yeah, the bacon thing, just not funny. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, let me, I bet you're fighting ninja pirate robot zombies. You know, like, not to just paraphrase XKCD in that, like, look, stop it with the same joke over and over and over again. But, like, yeah, stop it.
Yep.
Fucking Hothead, the first Penny Arcade game came out, and it was like, okay. And
the,
I was like,
you know
what?
The piss robots or whatever?
I want to give these guys more money because it's a good game. I like, you know, the writing's good.
Yep.
Is like, Jerry's item description's funny. Mm-hmm. I like them. I play the game just for that. I just like a, like, you know, you could just have written a book that was four paragraphs long, and I would have paid you $20 for it. So I bought the second one, and it just didn't work, and I posted in the tech support forums. There were a bunch of other people posting in the tech support forums saying, like, hey, I bought this game, and it just doesn't work. Like, the problem that I was having and that so many of these other people were having was, like, there was just some bug. Even though it used the exact same engine as the first game, there was this bug where you'd be, like, playing the game and playing the game and playing the game, and then you'd hit the button to go to your inventory, and it would literally take like 5 minutes to open.
Maybe it's because each inventory item had an entire novel.
Oh, they could have
written
as the
description.
Had it
downloaded each time
via BitTorrent.
Cool, and they didn't want to
like
store
five minutes,
copies.
And they just fucking ignored the tech support forums. They never patched the fucking thing. They were like, "Well, you know what? Sorry, this didn't work out. So anybody who paid $20 for this and it didn't work, fuck you." That's what they said.
Hmm.
And it's like. You know, I talked to my buddy that knows the guys at Penny Arcade, and I was like, hey, talk to them and say, tell them, like, ask them if what the fuck is going on, because, like, Hothead is just not supporting this product. and they, like, their response was like, oh man, is that guy's name Pedro? Because there's this guy named Pedro who's really been, like, throwing a fit in the forums about shit not working. I'm like, oh, okay, so you're going to make fun of me for wasting money on a product that doesn't work at all? Thanks, guys. That's a great response. I feel really taken care of as a customer here.
So, I mean, but so does that mean your anger then transfers over to the Penny Arcade guys?
Oh, I'm angry at them pretty much all the time. But no, because they dissed on our homeboys Jesse Thorne and Jordan Morris.
That's true.
So Greenhouse was like Penny Arcade tried to make Steam, right? And it might have worked, but it didn't. But
so it was going to be like a content distribution
system?
Yeah,
it was like a game distribution network. And they launched it with the first Penny Arcade game. They managed to get the licenses to some other games that the Penny Arcade guys liked. And it could have been a thing. You know, it could have been good old games. It just didn't take off, right? Didn't take off, didn't have any traction. But, like, the fact that they released this fucking game and then there were, like, just unplayability-level bugs that never got even mentioned by their support because it's like, oh, we're done with that franchise. Like, they just fucking stole $20 from me, is how I feel. Right? Huh. And I don't want to feel that way. If I bought a game and it wasn't fun...
Okay, so if you went to a Starbucks and got a coffee that they forgot to punch the hole in the lid so you couldn't drink it, would you just be like, fuck Starbucks, man. They sold me this cup of coffee that I couldn't drink, so...
You know, I would go back in and I would say, hey, can I get another lid? This one doesn't have a hole in it and I can't drink. And they would say, sure, here you go.
But...
Because I know, fuck you, we don't have that flavor of coffee anymore.
Couldn't you also play that game on a different computer and not have those problems? Because, like, I can't imagine that 100% of people who played the game had that problem. So there's got to be some kind of rendering issue or some sort of video card problem.
I could play the game on another computer because I have another computer.
Sure.
But that is an unacceptable... Like, I'm not pissed at them... I am pissed in particular at the way that they treated me, the experience that I had as a customer.
I'm not trying to...
But what I am pissed about is that they allowed anyone to have that experience, right? I could solve the problem.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
By getting a new computer, right? Which is... That's not a solution. That's not a solution to a...
But... There are plenty of people who have bizarre computer configurations and they want... You know, they want a game to work on it, and sometimes, like, you know, your Linux distro isn't going to run this game. Sucks to be you.
Make a post in the forums that says, we're aware of this, and we can't fix it. Sorry.
Okay.
Right? Don't just continue making video games and fucking ignore this one. It's like everyone tried to pretend that whole thing didn't happen. And that's the thing that bothers me about it a little bit. And
I see.
You know, I've said this before, and somebody was like, no, the Penny Arcade guys totally acknowledged the failure of that video game series because they talked about it in one episode of One Thing or something once. And it's like, oh, okay. I mean, apparently it was acknowledged, like he whispered into a cave, sorry, the game didn't work. You know, okay, I guess that was technically acknowledged. But, like...
I mean, the bear that lived in that cave went on the forums and told everybody about it, so...
Hothead
sure.
didn't go out of business. They're still making games like the fucking Baconing.
What is the Baconing?
That was
I haven't even heard
about that.
It's the
sequel to Deathspank. It's like... The third Deathspank.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not Penny Arcade's responsibility to acknowledge that issue. It's Hothead's.
No, but what bothers me a little bit about the Penny Arcade thing is that, like, how is it not...
How is it not incumbent upon them to make sure that their license is being respected?
Well, so that's not what I'm actually talking about. What I'm talking about is
that seems
why is everybody pretending that that didn't happen, right? Like, I'm guessing that
pretending
if Jerry...
That the
failure of that video game franchise and the complete disappearance and failure to support Greenhouse anymore...
I see.
...just didn't happen, right? Like, how is it that they you know, like... And granted, they don't have a responsibility to comment on any particular thing in the video game industry, right? But, like, it's just like, well, come on, man. Like, are you guys seriously, like, I don't think that they are so full of themselves that they're like, oh, this was a failure, but we're just not going to mention it, even though what we do is make fun of video game failures for a living, right? But we're just never going to speak about this again.
Well, I mean, he didn't speak about the failure. He did write the rest of the story.
Yeah, sure.
I should read that, actually, because I really like his writing. But
yep.
I never read it because I never played the second one. So
and
I,
this wouldn't bother me as much if I didn't have such a bitter taste in my mouth about like just buying a piece of software, being excited to use it, and then like, oh, hey, this doesn't work. Going online, bunch of other people. Yep, this also doesn't work for me in exactly the same way. I guess talking about it here in the tech support forum is the thing to do, and then just nothing for 3 years. Yeah.
Have you been checking every day?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a real beef.
It's almost like you are a hothead about this issue.
That's how I feel about culture. So you guys, assignment. You guys, neither of you are taking this assignment shit seriously.
I don't think that's fair.
I played a little of it, but I
have played through the game.
I spent all weekend
in its entirety one and a half times
working, and then I played a lot of Carmageddon 2.
Cool.
So
you're playing the thing that you wish will one day be the assignment.
Yeah, I was gonna say you didn't even mention that.
By the way, the previous week when I said that Riven was my favorite video game of the past, I want to change my answer to Carmageddon 2.
You're just gonna keep saying that about every video game you play.
Well, maybe. But at the moment, it's Carmageddon 2.
Yeah, did you not talk about that because you were hoping that someday that'll be the assignment?
No, not really.
Because like that was like primarily what you've been playing, and you didn't even bring it up.
I would have, but
next week you're gonna
be
we all
kind of we kind of went
super
from me to you.
Schoolgirl Bang High School 6 is gonna be your favorite game.
Oh man!
That's what you've been playing.
My new favorite new find the hidden object for girls game.
So the assignment was Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
Reign of Chaos.
I played the tutorial and the first level.
Warcraft 3, Rain Wilson.
Turned out I hadn't played it.
You've
never played it?
No, I was remembering either Warcraft 1 or 2.
Oh, okay.
So
Warcraft
3,
I
was surprised.
Very much less base buildy than Warcraft 2. In Warcraft 2, every mission is build a base.
Yeah. And they really got away from
very
that.
Very much not like that.
It
didn't
quite
heroes as far as StarCraft
as World 2. Of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the levels where you didn't have to build a base, and if all of them had been like that, I'm sure I would have really enjoyed it. Fallen Lords.
Two-thirds of the missions in the human campaign, you don't build a base.
Really?
But maybe I'm remembering it wrong. I don't know. I played it. I played through the entire human campaign. I kind of want to keep playing the game and play through it and then play through the Frozen Throne because I never actually made it through that.
The second mission in the human campaign, I like watched the little intro thing and the NPC says, okay, I'll stay here and manage the base while you go kill such and such. And I was like, sweet, it's not a base building level. And then the mission comes up and it says, build a base, make X troops. I was like, oh, god damn it. I was like, oh, forget it. I'm going to go play Carmageddon 2.
Terrible at assignments.
No, I'm sorry.
You get an F.
I don't like RTS. I don't RTS.
Why did you pick this game?
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
I'm going to pretend that you did because it's funny.
Now I did, I guess.
I liked it a lot. I thought that Warcraft 3 was like a major improvement over Warcraft 2.
Is there
a
cheat that will just let you skip the base building levels or...
I'm sure
you could
is.
Play on somebody's copy that had already unlocked all the levels.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's a cheat code that's just like, give me a billion gold and reveal the entire map.
I'll see if I can hunt that down and see if that makes it fun enough for me to
I know
get
in
through those.
In Warcraft 2, Black Sheep Wall and unlocks the entire map. Like, makes the entire map visible. I don't remember anything else.
Black Sheep Wall?
Yeah, I don't know.
Huh.
Funny jokes. Typing holy shit into the slot machine in Space
Super
Quest.
Weird.
The cheat code to activate cheats in general for Carmageddon 2 is lap my love pump.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are those developer tools that they just leave in or what? Like,
I think they were left, well, in Carmageddon, I'm pretty sure they were left in deliberately just so for having fun with.
Huh.
Because there's also, like, I don't remember what key it is, but there's an instant replay key so that you can watch what you just did in a variety of camera angles and then save it as a movie file.
Huh.
So.
I mean, I think that they are developer shortcuts, but then they obfuscate them and leave them in.
Yeah.
That can't be an accident that every RTS game has, you know. I mean, maybe the first one was an accident that they rolled out. I mean, maybe id Spiz Popto was not supposed to be in the live release.
Huh.
But maybe it was. Maybe they thought people would have fun with that.
So, I mean, so this came out of a tradition of games where it was just base building, and they added hero units. Your contention is that this was effectively a transition game between RTSs and MMO.
I don't know if that's my contention.
Huh.
I mean, I think it was an excuse for them to make a bunch of icons that they then reused in World of Warcraft.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the classes in World of Warcraft are also classes in Warcraft 3. I mean, sure. The Death Knight was one of the undead hero units, right? And they knew that they were going to use one of the hero units from Warcraft 3 as their first... what do they call them? What do they call the extra classes?
Superclass.
Yeah, superclass.
I don't even know. I stopped playing before those were introduced, so...
They're not... Is there not a word for them?
There is. Are they not hero? They're not
hero classes.
Hero classes?
Hero classes.
Is it hero classes?
Yeah, it is hero classes.
Okay. You just used that word, so... That's why I was confused as to, like, what else would they be called?
No, I don't know. Prestige classes.
Sure. The Illusionist classes. That was the one I was trying to think of.
Lady in the Water classes.
And then it turns out that...
What other Paul
your class has
Sideways
a, your
classes.
Class has an identical brother.
I'm trying to think of other Paul Giamatti movies.
Oh, okay.
Shoot 'em up classes.
Did you already do Lady in the Water classes?
Lady in the Water classes. Yeah. Do you listen while we're doing this?
I had my headphones in.
Are you listening to another podcast at 4x speed while we do this one?
That would be a really good use of my time, actually.
Yeah. Really good use of yours and a really poor use of everybody else's.
Well, whatever.
I want to keep playing Warcraft 3. I always say that about
Master of Magic and stuff too.
Yeah. I mean, Master of Magic I now have installed on anything, ever.
Like your phone?
Oh, man, that'd be great.
The interface would be a little tricky.
Yeah, you'd have to port it. One of these days, I'm going to have a computer that's just in my watch. And then, wherever I am, I can go outside, I can smoke a cigar, I can just play Master of Magic. Having a magic floating air computer.
A floating screen would be pretty cool. And then, like, just a gesture recognition.
Yeah, yeah. Or it projects a keyboard on your lap.
Neural force feedback to make you think you're actually hitting keys. And also give you a blowjob. It'd be pretty sweet.
That'd be some awesome feedback.
Give me a brain job.
All right, and here's the job interview. You need to beat this level of Master of Magic while getting a blowjob with a gun to your head. It's a real gun. Everything else is fake. It's weird. We only had enough money for a gun.
We could buy a gun, but not a blowjob.
Not a keyboard or a blowjob. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I have a lot of things to say about.
I liked them hiding a bunch of stuff. You know, like having like little secrets that you could find in some places.
One thing that really struck me is the Culling of Stratholme became like a sort of a critical moment in World of Warcraft lore, right? It's where Arthas, like, it became clear that Arthas was going to end up becoming the Lich King, and he was like sort of the guy behind the strings in all of the bad shit that happened, right? He was not the villain until Wrath of the Lich King, but that's just because he was up there, you know, making all of the undead bad guys, like, in the entire world. But, like, in that mission, you have to destroy a bunch of civilian, like you have to destroy a bunch of civilian buildings and kill a bunch of civilians, right? Because if, you know, they're going to turn into zombies and be used in an army against you if you don't. But the buildings are not hostile to you. Like, you cannot just right click on them to attack. Like, you have, like, they went out of their way to make it so you have to be extremely deliberate in, like, you have to overcome the game trying to stop you in lieu of a conscience from killing innocent people.
Nice.
Which I thought was really clever.
Yeah.
So yeah, game interface has conscience.
Huh.
Now see, if you'd played the game, you would probably have more observations like this.
I was going to say that I really liked the level design. I really liked the way that they would hide stuff in corners. And it was particularly interesting having now... like been to Blizzard, and a friend of ours is a level designer for StarCraft 2, and he like showed us this thing in the corner of one of the first maps. There's like an
outhouse that was on a YouTube video almost immediately after StarCraft 2 came out, and he was like, I don't know if anybody will find this because it's a timed mission, and you can't get to this without cheating.
Right.
Basically, because it's like, it's a mission where you're just defending a base, but there are all of these Zerg bases around that are spawning the shit that it's sending at you, and this guy, this Torin guy in the outhouse, is past one of those Zerg bases, yeah. So you would never have any reason to go there if you were playing the game as normal.
And it's gone after the first couple of minutes of the game. Like, it shows up and then leaves.
Right.
And so, like, I was like, oh, man, I wonder if there's anything like that. So I spent a couple minutes, like, messing around with some of the early levels with Farsight and seeing if I could, like, see anything that was, like, happening somewhere else in the map. And I don't, you know, I didn't find anything that cool. But I remember spending a lot of time when I played through the game the first time making sure that I explored every nook and cranny of every map just to see, like, hidden stuff. And you can find, like, Pandaren in different places and that kind of thing. Like,
oh, you can?
Yeah. And, like, I think that's cool. They haven't brought Pandaren into World of Warcraft, have they?
I think so.
I guess, I mean, I haven't
you know, paid attention. The hidden hero class, the Hamson, which is an anagram of the shaman, and his powers are all anagrams of shaman powers,
uh-huh.
has the ability fart sigh.
Really?
Yeah. You go like, and it does a bunch of area of effect damage because it smells real bad.
The other thing that I really liked was having
also
played...
Also Japanese ham.
Having played a bunch of World of Warcraft going back was just like it just made me miss World of Warcraft because I love the lore of World of Warcraft like a ton, and seeing like this like early stuff that I had seen before but didn't really have any significance for me before.
I really miss the wandering around and exploring in World of Warcraft. I was going back through a bunch of really old blog posts recently and found a bunch of like tourist snapshots that I took while going through Wrath of the Lich King,
where you'd stand in front of something.
Yeah, I'd stand in front of something and turn the camera to face me and then do the wave emote and then make the screenshot. And I was like, oh, I miss it.
I would stand in front of dramatic sunsets a lot and take pictures.
If you guys weren't so addict,
we could actually play.
You could still play every once
in
a while.
Yeah. If it were possible for me to both play World of Warcraft and play anything else and work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know what it is about you guys. Because, like, I drink way more than you do. I smoke way more than you do. I shoot way more smack into my eyeballs than you guys do. But for whatever reason. I mean, maybe it's because I don't need to chase dragons in World of Warcraft when I chase real dragons through HR Puffin Stuff Land. I'm addicted to every drug.
Just don't go to HR Geiger Stuff Land. That would mess your shit right up.
Yeah.
Next week's assignment.
Yeah, because we are busy. Next week's assignment is a game that we've all already been playing, which is Monster Tail for the Nintendo DS, or the 3D, or the DSi, or the
whichever one you happen to own.
Yeah,
it was like $30 on Amazon.
Have you been playing it on a DS or on your 3DS?
I've been playing it on a DSi.
Oh, okay.
The DSi is like the DS, only with way shittier battery life. I am seriously tempted to just pull out my DS so that...
DS is like 8 or 10 hours of battery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I never upgraded. I've been pretty happy with my
3DS,
DS Lite.
If you close it and put it down, when you come back to it, the battery will be dead.
Wow, no, that's really? Not my experience.
Yeah, that's been my experience.
Well,
I mean,
but you
I
put it down
come
for
back
like
to it
a couple
four
days
or five
later.
Years.
What?
If you close it and put it down for 4 or 5 years,
oh.
you come back,
okay,
the battery
yes,
will be
case.
Dead, and so will your grandma.
No, in my experience, the sleep mode on the 3DS takes almost no battery.
I don't know.
Do you have it on some sort of street calling at people? Like,
well, mode? I have it on toilet monitoring mode. It's on a... You got me
even in Street Pass mode.
This is one of the best Christmas presents ever. You got me a music stand for my toilet so that I can have read larger books on the toilet.
Well, you were complaining that you couldn't.
I was complaining that I couldn't read my Sandman anthology or my Farside anthology on the toilet because I don't want to sit on the toilet and have a giant voluminous tome on top of my legs. Because then, you know, I mean, you already have that problem where your legs fall asleep.
That's true.
Right? If you're pushing on them from the top and the bottom, they turn black and fall off. I mean, luckily, the toilet's right there. You just flush them, but you gotta go get some new orphan legs on the black market.
But you might get deep vein thrombosis and not even know it.
That's probably true. Anyway, so you got me this music stand. And so often I'll have my DS just sitting there on the music stand. And granted, I only poop once every 6 or 7 days. So sometimes...
Not once, every four or five years.
But I leave my DS in toilet monitoring mode so I can tell if anybody else has been pooping in my toilet in the intervening 5 or 6 days. So I can throw a...
Does it shock them if they try?
No, it just tells me about them so that I can hunt them down and kill them.
You get a little picture of their Wii avatar using your toilet, and then you get a puzzle piece.
Yeah. So, next week's assignment, yeah, Monster Tale.
It's fun. Yes,
it's a new game. It is.
It's good.
You can level up a dude.
And his pets.
And explore and find nothing in particular.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, I got a lot of angry things to say about this game.
Yep.
Spoiler alert.
And yet we all still recommend playing it. So, yeah.
We'll be back in a bit, sweet segment bros. Yay, reader mail.
Hey, reader mail.
And male readers.
Do you guys have any readers? I know, Kevin, you like male readers and female readers just the same. We got to have our bisexuality joke quota. Somebody complained. Bobulus wrote into the email. Hey, Zach and crew. Something interesting going down in Urban Dead right now. Web-based MMO came out in 2005. Kind of stagnated after that. Got overrun with RPers after everybody else left, as they do. Wait, you're saying everybody leaves or everything gets run over with RPers?
That's a good question. Is it something that naturally follows an exodus of casual players?
I don't know.
I wonder which is the
People left are the hardcore role-playing dweebs, maybe. Mm-hmm. Recently, a group of people online, mostly from Something Awful, no surprise, decided to see if they could finish the poor thing off and ruin every single building on the map so there was no place new players could spawn and convert every existing player to the zombie side, have an actual zombie apocalypse in a game that bills itself that way.
Huh.
It was doing surprisingly well. Survivors dropped from 8,000 to 2,500, while zombies went from 5,000 to 12,000, dropping the survivor percentage to an all-time low. But then some hidden game mechanic kicked in, and the ability of survivors to find supplies went through the roof. We're talking like things that had a 20% chance to find climbing to 80%, stuff like
that.
Huh. How the game is auto-balancing as survivors have an easier time reviving zombies and things will go right back to the way they were. I was curious to hear your thoughts on this. While the mechanic keeps the game from reaching an endgame state, it also seems rather, well, lame, since it means that players can't actually impact the game space as much as they thought they could. Seems like there could be really more elegant ways to do that kind of thing, or perhaps, if you were feeling adventurous, turn the thing into a story point for the game rather than something to be avoided. Thoughts? Well, a story point works if it's a game where you're constantly developing it and making shit happen all the time.
If the developers are watching as this is happening.
Do you believe in a deist model of game design?
I've certainly found that the best way to let the players have an impact on a game event or game world is to fake it, because faking it makes it way more satisfying for everyone.
Are you saying that faking it in general,
yes,
makes everything...
In general, faking it is more satisfying to everyone.
I see.
Unless you're talking about the myth of the female orgasm. There's no point. We all know it's a myth. They're all fake. So, with Urban Dead, like... I played a lot of Nexus War, which was a sort of a spiritual successor to Urban Dead, even though it was born and died while Urban Dead was still alive.
Okay.
Right? Urban Dead, and to a certain extent with Nexus War, it is like hostile to new players. It is already hostile
Nexus War
to new
is?
Players. Both of them are.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like, okay, cool. I'm going to go and I'm going to kill a monster. All right. I found a monster and I have 50 action points. So with each of my action points, I have a 10% chance of doing 1 damage, and this monster has 50 hit points. Huh. Okay. Well, but it's just a different kind of game, right? It's not the kind of game where you go out and kill a monster and get some shit. It's a game where you are desperately trying to survive or whatever.
Right.
Right. Nexus War went under, mostly because he didn't have any way of making money off of it, really.
I enjoyed the idea of it. I didn't play it for very long, though. I played it for like a week. Yeah.
Because he would not take money for game advantage,
right?
It just died. I mean, it died because it was too popular, right? Like, if you don't monetize something in a way that more people playing it means that you make more money, then you like the way the internet works is it will just murder your baby, right? Like,
that's a complicated metaphor.
Things die because they get too popular. Like, websites fail.
Like Justin Bieber.
Businesses fail. They're not businesses. I mean, that's the thing. Cultural things fail because they are too good.
Like Madonna.
On the web, because nobody
Michael Jackson.
Nobody will pay for anything unless you trick them into paying for something.
Okay, go.
Yes. Yes, Michael Jackson failed because he was too good.
Okay.
He was too beautiful a flower, and God wanted him.
I'm just, like, I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about.
You're trying to make jokes. You're trying to make jokes because you...
I'm not actually trying to make
that
jokes.
This is a comedy podcast and not a video game
podcast. I'm not trying to make jokes. I'm trying to figure out any example of where that is true in any context. Like, like Google is hugely popular...
Because they figured out a way to make money. The ones that still exist are ones that figured out real ways to make money.
Right, because it costs money to be able to have a lot of people looking at your thing.
Right, if you make a popular website,
yeah,
and everybody starts to look at it,
yeah,
the hosting costs will bankrupt you. Like, that's just how the web works. And that, you know, that's... Like,
Jorm,
the Nexus War guy, wasn't going to let that happen. But so, I mean, these games are weird, right? Because they are very, like Raph Koster would just love it, right? They're very worldly, right? This is like we've set up a set of rules, and then we're just letting people do whatever they want. And by and large, what they want is to make life shitty for other people, and to create an experience that is. I'm not exaggerating. This is not hyperbole. It is actively hostile to new players, right?
There was that cool sounding hacking game.
Yeah, I think we talked about that on the last episode, right? Where, yeah, it was that hacking game where it's like, all right, cool. So there needs to be a playground for new players to figure out what the game is all about before you just start letting them get raped by existing asshole players. And you just, I'm sorry, if you don't want your game to have that, then your game is going to be hostile to new players. And sorry, that's just the way that it works, right? And you can say, all right, well, it's a philosophical thing. I don't want my game to be popular, so I'm not going to have that in my game. Great, enjoy your non-popular game, right? I'm sure that there are a lot of people who really like Urban Dead. And I'm nothing but love, even though I know nothing about them, for the people who make Urban Dead, right? Like, that was a cool idea. Like... Sounds neat. A lot of people were into it. You made a thing that brought joy to, it sounds like, 15, 20,000 people. Awesome, you know? But it does not surprise me that there is a mechanism for stopping the thing from becoming just a complete landslide like that. And I feel like there ought to be more mechanisms like that in the game because that would make it more fun.
Well, I mean, but you... Do you want them to kick in as soon as the ratio is 49-51?
Yeah, kind of.
Wow, really?
I kind of do.
Huh.
I mean, I think that would make it better. Right, because you still have... Your experience of playing a game like that is so confined to a local area that it doesn't matter to you. I mean, you can say, wow, there sure are a lot of zombies in Chinatown. And, yep, there are a lot of zombies in Chinatown. Right, but there are a lot of humans over in the safe part of town, right? Like, it enforces a kind of gameplay balance that keeps the narrative interesting, right? You don't want, like, it's not fun to lose. It's fun to win sometimes and lose sometimes, because then winning means something and losing means something, but it's not fun to just lose all the time, right?
But
so StarCraft II does matchmaking that it's ideal end state is that you win half the time and you lose half the time, and that is the way to maximize fun, right?
Sure.
So if your goal is for a game to be fun, you want people to win half the time and lose half the time if it's a competitive game. What's not fun is that, all right, for a couple of months, everybody loses, right? Like, that sucks. That sucks, and that's a couple of months where no one is having fun with your game, right? So that's the problem with letting the players make the rules, is they make shitty rules. Huh. Because they're assholes. And that's why you can't fucking go anywhere in EVE Online, right? Like, there are parts of the game where the game designers have decided there are no rules here. You can do whatever you want. Those are the parts of the game that if you go there, you get your shit blown up and you lose it all, right? Unless you are like crazy well connected, and you know, maybe you're crazy well connected. Maybe you are one of the Something Awful forum goons, and they're having a grand old time just ruining everybody else's life in this game, right? But if there was nobody there whose lives they could ruin, they wouldn't be having any fun either, because it's kind of zero sum in a game where the players make up all the story.
I like the idea of constructs within the game that allow players to have some agency in narrative development, right? Like,
oh, I like the idea. I don't think that it has ever been done properly in practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you can't trust the players to follow along on that idea.
Well, but this is the original question, though, right?
Unless your idea is that you want cocks and balls everywhere.
No, but like these players had an aim in mind, right? Like, they wanted to actually make everybody a zombie, right? They wanted to like try something that they thought might have been possible or whatever. And there's a simple mechanism that prevents that. But wouldn't it have been cool if there had been some kind of structure which brought in some entire other narrative element into play when they reached this sort of destabilizing state, that now there was like a new branch of the game, right?
It would have, but what that does is, instead of a guy having to write a game, a guy has to write every game.
He has to write a new game for every eventuality that he can imagine. It's like being a dungeon master
but you don't prepare. You can imagine an infinite number of eventualities. The thing about being a dungeon master is you are talking to like three dudes. You're not talking to 10,000 dudes.
Well, fine, but you could come up with five sort of broad arcs that the game could go through, and you could like program them in and then, you know, see which ones happen. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
But that's the thing. There aren't any arcs in Urban Dead, right? But there, like, it's a simulation. It is not a game. It is a simulation.
But in a game where everybody's playing, the balance is going to be, assuming that you know, the balance is relatively well maintained, balance is going to be, you know, 50-50-ish, right? And if they figure out some way to destabilize that in either direction, that's interesting.
But I would argue that in this particular context, he did write a scenario for the game.
Okay, but it's not a scenario.
It is a scenario. It is suddenly the ragtag band of survivors that was almost ready to die. They found a new source of resolve, and they found a hidden cache of weapons, and it just totally... They totally turn shit around in Act 3, right? Because that, to me, is more exciting than, oh, everybody died. I mean, which story is more interesting to watch? Like, here's the problem. The Something Awful people, in this particular example, their goal was to make it so a new player could not play the game. So that when somebody signed up for an account, and the logic in the game that was like, well, here's a new player, we should put them somewhere that they won't immediately get killed by zombies, it had nowhere to put them, because everything had been killed by zombies, right?
And you don't think that is interesting?
I don't. I think it is interesting if you are standing a mile away from it, but I think for the guy who, like, hey, what's this Urban Dead game? Huh, it's a game where I can't create a character because 40 assholes ruined my ability to create a character. It's like, for that guy, it's not interesting at all. For that guy, it's a game he can't fucking play.
If the person then goes, why can't I make a character, and then goes to look it up, they will see this story about how the zombies actually took it over and the game is dead now. That's kind of interesting.
Do you think that that's good for people?
Yes. Yeah.
So a game that dies because the players...
A piece of artwork that was destroyed because it was at the middle of some really interesting, like, political intrigue is a much more interesting piece of artwork, even though I won't ever be able to see the actual piece of artwork.
Right. I mean, the Library of Alexandria is the coolest library we've ever had because it had infinite possibilities. And there's nothing. So, but I mean...
Why is that a bad thing?
Well, why is it a bad thing that almost all of the collected knowledge of mankind was wiped out in a fire because of some assholes? I mean, I think that that's a bad thing just right on its surface, and no matter how deep you dig into it, it's still a bad thing.
I disagree, because we're talking about it now, so it's not like it ended humanity. And
yeah, but the thing is, if we weren't talking about the Library of Alexandria having been burned down, we would be talking using fucking jetpack microphones, because who knows how much farther along the human race would be if it had not been for destructive assholes.
Uh-huh.
You know, and maybe there are things that only exist because destructive assholes forced us into corners and we painted our way out of those corners using beautiful Technicolor dream palettes. And that's where that maybe all the best art comes from adversity, and maybe all of the best stories come from suffering, and maybe Urban Dead, maybe that guy should go out of business because the Something Awful guys thought it would be funny to put his game out of business, and it would be an interesting story 5 years from now. Hey, whatever happened to Urban Dead? Oh, yeah, the Something Awful guys made it so no one could play the game anymore, and so the guy shut the servers down. Cool! Good video game story, bro.
I think it is. I think it is.
Sure. You're taking a long view, and...
What was that MMO where they were shutting it down, and on the last day, they just, like, things went apeshit, and, like, they brought out all kinds of crazy, huge, high-level monsters, and, like... Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Richard Garriott one...
Ultima Online?
No.
That wasn't the Tabula Rasa
Ultima
thing?
Yeah, it was Tabula Rasa. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, it was Tabula Rasa.
Okay.
But Ultima Online is still running, because they eventually stopped... people from fucking each other over.
Oh, that's right.
So Tabula Rasa, like, they were shutting it down, and then they, like, the last day or week or whatever, they just, like, brought out all their, like, high-level crazy shit, and it was awesome, by all accounts, to be on that game for, like, the one day that it was happening.
Okay.
Sure,
so,
but that's not something that happened because of griefers.
Okay, but it could have been.
Even still.
And it would still be a cool story.
So
it doesn't matter that the developers did it or
awesome.
The griefers
it is
did
awesome
it.
For everyone except the people who made the game and the people playing the game. So it's an awesome story for everyone who is not invested in it, right? Which, I mean, there are probably some really cool murders, right? There are probably some really cool stories.
I mean, we get a lot of traction out of Jack the Ripper still.
But you can't... This is...
I just don't understand your point of view. Yeah, I don't understand your point of view, though. Like...
That I would rather awesome video games be awesome and fun
than
us have a fun story about how Something Awful destroyed a game by being assholes.
But were they really being assholes, or were they seeing what would happen?
They were seeing what would happen, and they saw what would happen. They saw that this world had rules to prevent them from destroying it. And I think that is totally reasonable.
Is that more or less interesting, though, than being able to actually shut the game down?
To who?
That's a question.
To us, it is probably slightly less interesting.
Okay.
But we don't have a horse in that race.
We have a horse in the race in that we're discussing it right now.
To everyone involved in the creation and maintenance and playing of that game, I think this is a better story.
Well,
because
okay,
this is a story that results
game
in
was
the game
being
still
being
there.
If the game was being maintained... You could say, oh, congratulations, Zombies won. That's okay, we're resetting the game. Like, that's a thing that you could do, right? Like, that, like, maybe they'll be like, oh, you guys figured out that the whole point of the game was for one side to win over the other one, and Zombies won, you know, Urban Dead 1.0. Time for Urban Dead 2.0. Like, they could use that as an opportunity to do whatever the fuck they want, and that's cool. Like, it just seems like it could have been, it could be really interesting, and you're just dismissing it out of hand, and you would actually prefer that the game always be 50-50, and that just seems like stagnant and boring to me.
I don't know that I feel like that is the most interesting thing, but I feel like
okay.
It's probably the most fun
how do
thing
you,
as a player.
How do you feel
and
about...
And it is a question of what your goal is with
how
the game.
How do you
is
feel
game,
about
is
EVE Online's like crazy convoluted like month or year long like subterfuge and like destruction of huge corporation stories that you read about? Are those cool or are those terrible? Or what's like, those are player generated narrative that from an outside point of view is an amazing story. And from the point of view of the person who's being like screwed
sure.
over, it's gotta suck balls.
Because that story is amazing, because Eve is capable of creating these amazing stories, it is a game that I just don't give a shit about playing at all.
Huh. I mean, I clearly have never gone and played it, but I really like hearing about the people that have.
And it is interesting, right? And it would be interesting, like, here's the thing. It would be an interesting story if one guy managed to figure out a way to blow up every ship in Eve. And everybody started over from zero.
Yeah.
And all of the tens of thousands of dollars worth of game time cards that exist as destructible items in the world were just gone, and CCP went out of business. That would be interesting. Right? That would be an interesting story. right? Like it's that, like that story about the guy who wrote a light cycle game, and oh, the light cycle game went off the screen and it started like fucking up memory on my computer. That's an interesting story. Yeah. Except this is an interesting story that results in thousands of people losing a game that they love to play, and a bunch of douches in kilts from Iceland losing their jobs. Yeah, they all had kilts. They're all marching around in kilts. They're from Iceland. You don't wear kilts in Iceland, you jack-offs. Like, if you were a Scottish...
Wasn't it just one guy in a utility kilt?
No, they all had kilts.
I think it was just one guy in a utility kilt.
It was a team of guys in kilts.
Anyway.
It was a team of guys in kilts from a place where they don't wear kilts.
I think it is entirely, entirely possible and or likely that they could restore the game to some state somewhat near the prior to the destruction of all that stuff.
Okay.
And it would be okay. Right? Like, because it is a game that is being actively maintained.
In the same way that it is okay that there were mechanisms in place to stop Urban Dead from turning into an unfun landslide. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're sad because I'm right and you're wrong.
No, I'm sad because I feel like there's potential here for interesting mechanisms. Or more interesting mechanisms than what's in place.
Maybe Rev Koster should go have a handjob party, and then after the handjob
party... Handjob sandwich.
You can talk about ham-san. After your fart sigh, you can talk about... I wish I could remember another shaman ability than fart
sigh. Had you like already thought this through?
Chain lightning. I'm not going to be able to anagram that into a fart joke in my head in a hurry. Like
there's also no F.
Farsight. Well, but I mean, you could do... Nothing. I can't do it. I can't do it on the fly. I should take a break. I should pause the recording. Go to iRearrangement Servant. Make up some fart jokes about chain lightning.
I think that might be our question for the week.
Yeah, I think that was. I think that was the reader mail.
Cool.
Well, thanks for...
How can people send us more reader mail?
Oh, yeah. At VGHotDog on Twitter. VGHotDog@gmail.com. They can go to videogameshotdog.com. They can find us on Facebook. They can't find us on Facebook. They can try.
If you try to find us on Facebook and you succeed, that's not us.
You could send a message to Advice Hot Dog on Facebook, and Roy will send it to me. Maybe. I don't know. He's going to be busy, too. You could come see us at Phoenix Comic Con.
Yes.
Booth 900.
No, 900.
You could come see us at San Diego Comic Con and ask us a video games question in the end of July.
Yep.
We're at booth...
1431.
That was it. You could.
You're bad with numbers, apparently.
All right. We'll be back in 44 days.
Have a great week, everyone.
See you.